to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear news worth sacrificing a Bothan for, all the things about Oricon, and maybe why the tiny Rakgul is in a permanent bring-it-on stance. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and get rail shot into deep space to broadcast this to you. All set, EPC 07? Huh? Huh? Did I say rail shot? I meant nudge deeply, nudge gently into a safe local orbit. Hi, Seema, how's it going?
I think I'm maybe doing better than EPC 07. But
better than he'll be doing shortly.
Yeah. I do. I totally agree with you about the Rakgul pets. They do look like they're always ready for a fight, like that moment. But yeah, things are going really good. I've been spending, I've been quite immersed this past week in the Oricon stuff. I really, really enjoyed the story. I liked how they structured the story so that you have the sort of quest, boss, and you can solo them if you want to, but you know, you can group if you want to. I just think they really hit a good balance there. I even dug out a couple of my newbie 55s and took them through there because those quests net you, you know, two or three or four pieces of purple gear with level 66 mods, which they didn't have. They were still pretty much in their level 50 gear. So did I say 50? They were in 50 gear. You get level 55 gear for these quests, or level 53 or whatever it is. But it was a nice upgrade for them. So that was fun. And I know I've been saying that I'm going to level my warrior and or my gunslinger, but I keep getting distracted by things to do on my 55, so I still haven't gotten to those yet. So how have things been going for you?
Good. I get that distraction on the 55s. There's so much that I keep meaning to do and wanting to do. I still am behind on the CZ one, whatever. What's somebody yeah. What's it called? Yeah. CZ1. CZ, all the numbers. I got to get that rep going, but I haven't. What I've been doing is leveling my Marauder.
So you've been doing the opposite. Marauder,
yeah. When I made notes earlier, I said, I'm at 36, but actually now I'm at 38 because we had a couple more minutes before the show. So I'm up to 38 and he is going strong on Terrace. I know some people don't like Terrace, but again, I'm a fan of the Rakguls. You can never have enough Rakguls. So he's plowing through Terrace. I did buy off the GTN a set of the Thana Vesh armor suit for him, so I can give my Sand People Bloodguard suit back to my Juggernaut, who's still naked on his ship. So I'm looking forward to that.
Gotta love the outfit.
My Cybertech is crafting up a bunch of the mods that I'll fill the Thana Vesh suit up with. And I think that looks like a really cool Marauder setup. And I don't think you need to color it or anything. I think it looks good. So I'm going to go with that. And although I've also been doing, as you've been doing, and we'll talk about it a lot this week, the stuff on Oricon. I've done the weeklies. I've done the story. I've done some of the instance that we'll talk about. We'll talk about a little bit about the Dread Fortress. And I have also done a little bit of the PvP. I did some of the arenas, and once a day I'll do one or two on my Marauder to get the daily done as well. The arenas are what you'd expect. Very good people do very well. If you're not prepared, it is definitely dual style, and it's easy to get overwhelmed by superior gear, superior forces, but not too bad. I've also found, though, that just PvP in general, there's a lot of people that are back into PvP. We'll see how long it holds up, but a lot of the older guilds, the hardcore PvP guilds that haven't been around too much lately, I've seen them back on Jedi Covenant. So that's interesting. The queues seem to be filling up. People seem to be having fun with it. I did get asked when I jumped into one of the arenas, why aren't you all in PvP gear? Which I still don't think is completely necessary. I wasn't in a ranked match, so I don't know why this person had so much of a problem with it. I queued up for just a random non-ranked match. I didn't try to get in a 4v4 arena, so I didn't have a choice. So you could have someone that just hit 55 and is trying to get their first sets of gear and is not going to have any, so don't expect them to.
That strikes me as a little bit strange. How does that work out where you're just jumping into the regular war zone queue, right? And you could end up in an arena fight. It just seems like a weird combination. Yeah.
So what it is, the setup is the arenas are just another new war zone. Basically, Baron Deathmark and the Hutt decided that this is another form of entertainment. You know, you've got Huttball, you've got the other war zones that they're not involved in. This is their new enterprise. It just goes in the mix with all the other war zones. So if you queue for a random war zone, you have a chance of getting in a 4v4 or in one of the old 8v8s.
So when they call it arena, it's basically just, is there a game you're playing with objectives, or it's just straight out kill each other, whoever kills wins?
Yeah.
That's why straight they call up. It arena. Okay. All right. I gotcha.
Yep. Straight up deathmatch, best out of three. So you do go three rounds, but it's just 4-on-4 straight up deathmatch in a relatively small space, smaller than the other war zones. Let's say that. But it's great. I think it is set up well, and it's well balanced, and it has been going well. Now our guild is also doing our normal stuff. So we stuck with Scum and Villainy on Wednesday because we wanted that 16 man to go smooth, especially since we're going to pull in a couple people from outside the guild to fill in the last couple slots. It did go smoothly, although we still ran out of time to get to the last boss. We cut it 15 minutes early. So we really, again, only ran about an hour and a half and got through all of Scum and Villainy except the last boss.
Yeah,
we need to start a little bit sooner.
For the most part, we ran it with 15 because one of our guildies got disconnected and we waited a while for him to come back. And then we said, we'll just go forward and wait for him to come back. And then basically we just said, well, we'll just finish with 15.
But that worked out great.
Yeah.
That's fun. And then we started getting into Dread Fortress, which we will talk about in detail later.
Yes.
But first, we will talk about news worth sacrificing a Bothan for.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Yeah.
I hope not too many Bothans, because it's not that much news this week.
Probably just enough Bothans. So the big news is patch 2.4 last week, which we've touched on a little bit when we were talking about Oricon and PvP. And then on Thursday, there was a minor bug fix patch. And then tomorrow, Tuesday, the next Tuesday, there's going to be another sort of smallish patch with a few minor fixes in it. And some of these are things I didn't even know were broken, but apparently Kaizenfest has been overly excited, as they said in the patch notes, and has been growling after every action. They fix that. So I can see where people might get tired of hearing Kaizen after every action. They've fixed the bounty reputation trophies so that now they stack and they can be vendored. I am not to a point where I'm wanting to vendor them, but I imagine many people are already. I'm still leveling up my rep with that group. The isotope 5 vials, or the vial of stabilized isotope 5, are again going to be available on the basic comm vendors. They were mistakenly taken out and now they'll be restocked on those vendors again, which is good. That's good for crafters. And then the Republic PvP Warzone vendor for smugglers has got the right guns on him now. Apparently he did not have them before. And there's a couple little PvP arena fixes. It fixes so that phase walk can't be cast. I think it was before you could cast it into the area before it actually started. Is that what it was, Max?
Yes. Which I think they fixed that in other arenas, so I don't know why they forgot it. And I think like in Huttball, you're not supposed to be able to phase walk like back into the start where nobody can get you.
And I guess there was a certain situation too where you could end up with five team members on one or more sides of a 4x4. So that's not good either, but that's been fixed or will be fixed tomorrow in that patch. That's the plan anyway.
And I didn't see anything in this patch unless it's going to be stealth fixed, but we were thinking they could be tweaking or tuning up the Dread Fortress a little bit based on what some people are saying in the forums, but I don't see that yet. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Maybe they think it's just fine.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that, but I was hoping to see something for this week on that, but yeah. Not so far.
Yeah, we'll talk about why.
Yeah.
Bounty Contract Week is coming back tomorrow. No, it's not. So Eric Musco posted erroneously in the dev tracker that it was back tomorrow. I think he was looking at the patch notes saying the stuff will be fixed tomorrow. The contract week doesn't actually come back until the following week. And as we were saying, I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was feeling a little overwhelmed because I'm still in that mode where I want to do the dailies, the Oricon dailies. And now that Elite comes, you can buy higher level gear with Elite comes. I want to go back and do the staged weekly, and I want to do the CZ all the numbers weekly. And I'm like, no, don't make me do bounty contract week at the same time.
Right. Exactly. Too much content. So that'll be good for it to be the week after. And then I wonder when they're going to bring the Gree back. I haven't seen that, but yeah, I'll come back sometime soon.
So R2, you know, what's going on in the world of ops for us and AIE is R2 group SUP and LOL. We're both moving into Dread Fortress. We did this week. We took a stab at the first boss in Dread Fortress, or we got the first boss in Dread Fortress and took a few thousand stabs at the second boss. And also we're looking at having our next guild event here in the next couple of weeks. So we will see more about that in our forums.
Yep. Keep an eye on the forums. We'll get something set up before long, I'm sure. Everybody's having fun with Oricon. We've been doing our Tuesday night fun. What was Flashpoint nights have been turned into Oricon nights this week, at least. I think we'll have more of that.
That's true. Tuesday night hard modes turned into let's cover the island of the moon of Oricon and everyone do their dailies. So that was pretty fun. We were all in Vent and everyone was kind of in different places, and we had several more than one group going, and it was a little chaotic, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was good. So that brings us to our main segment for the week, and I thought I would let Treek introduce it for us this time.
Oh, Treek, I could not agree more.
So just to translate, Treek said, we're going to talk about Oricon.
Right.
All the things about Oricon. So yes, Oricon. So what we'll do is we'll go through a little bit of the non-spoilery setup. We've got just a few notes on that. We'll give you the background, and then we'll let you know if you don't want to hear anything about any of the missions or the details of what you do and what the boss fights are like. We'll give you the cutoff, and you can join us next week. But in terms of the background, so Oricon itself is a moon, but it's also the name of the star system. I looked it up. It does come out of the extended universe of Star Wars. There is lore that's associated with it. There was a long lost Darth dude who was a mean guy who did a whole bunch of experiments on dark side power on all of the wildlife on this moon. And the Dreadmasters got wind of needing a place and liked the whole corrupted dark side homey feel that was left over on Oricon. So they decided to set up camp there.
Yeah. And so the Republic and the Empire somehow found out that that's where they were, you know, setting up camp and having their fortress. And so both have sent teams to Oricon. And you can find breadcrumb missions on the fleet on both sides that'll tell you to take your ship to Oricon. And that's how your whole Oricon experience starts out. It's a droid, and he's usually hanging out in like a corner. How do I explain it, Max?
Right, just at one of the intersections of the major paths down to the out to the elevators. He's just in one of the corners. It's different on each of the two fleets, but you can find the little astromech, and his name, his title under the name of the astromech says something about Oricon missions or something like that.
Right. It was easy for us to find because there were like 20 people standing around him. But, you know,
right,
that may not be the case now.
I think you can also start at the weekly PVE mission terminal in the supplies quarter, and that has a breadcrumb that tells you to go find the droid, and then we'll light him up on your map.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So once you find him, he tells you you need to jump on your ship and you need to head out to Oricon. once you get to Oricon, there's not a docking station or anything. There's a new little way to get down to the planet, which I liked, which was the beacon, the shuttle beacon. You go down to the planet and you get to your individual base camp, and you got to start talking to the people there and figuring out what's going on. And from there, a story ensues. And yeah, that's the interesting part.
Yes. When you get the quest from the fleet, it specifically says fly in your ship to Oricon. So I'm pretty sure you need to go by your ship the first time, go via your ship the first time. But there's also a new legacy ability you can purchase that's a legacy travel to Oricon. And there's Oricon has also been added to the teleport station, so you can teleport there. So there's a number of ways to get there.
Yep. And that ends the setup. So you get to Oricon, you start the story, and stuff happens. If you don't want to hear exactly what happens and how to get through some of the missions and what we were doing this week, you might want to skip to next week, and we will talk to you later. Okay, so for everybody that is still listening, all three of you.
Yes.
So yeah. you get to the moon, and there's a set of story missions that lead you through the initial set of what become dailies and lead you up to the steps of the Dread Fortress, and then lead you on into assaulting the Dread Fortress and Dread Palace. I like the story. You're right. You did have to be there. You have to go there on your ship the first time, because as you approach the planet and fly there, you get a cutscene on your ship. And
oh, that's
they,
right.
They yeah. tell you, you know, you can't really land there, blah, blah, blah. All right, well, drop me off at the beacon, blah, blah, blah. So that was pretty cool. You get down there, everything's in disarray. Everybody's getting all beat up because the Dreadmasters are doing their dread thing on everyone. But
yeah,
you're
getting in
the
your
whole
head.
Planet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what they do. So the planet is divided up into, or the moon is divided up into a few different sections, which then end up turning into dailies. There's a sort of an area daily, and there's a bunch of individual story missions that turn into dailies. They're divided up into north, south, and mid, the tower in the middle. And on the east is the fortress and the palace. The north, south, and middle, after you kill the X number of things, leads you into a little mini instance. So we're going to talk about the mini bosses in each of those instances, and then what happens on the steps of the palace.
Yeah, and when you do get that area quest, it does say to kill 50 mobs, but don't worry about it. Don't think that you have to go out and kill 50. You will kill way more than 50 just getting these quests done, so you don't have to go looking for mobs to kill. But yeah, the mini instances. The first one inside there is the corrupted elder Subtaroth, and though he is interesting because he hits really hard and he throws rocks. So basically, until he becomes stunnable, he's not stunnable. So, or I think it's a she, but she becomes stunnable. It's really important to stun him at that point because it gives you a little breather and your companion. But basically, just he hits hard, he throws rocks, you have to DPS as fast as you can and do whatever healing you can to last through that fight, and then you'll be home free. Those are the things to remember about that guy.
Yeah, definitely get ready for the stun. Big red letters show up on the screen. Subtaroth is now stunnable, blah, blah, blah. Where did you get that it's a she?
Doesn't it say in the message she's now stunnable?
Maybe.
Maybe it does. See, now I have to go back and do that.
And then what's the one in the north?
Oh, that one comes first in the order of the, when you're going through these quests in the order of the story. And then the second one that you get to is houses the corrupted Bothrium beast. And that's an interesting fight. And that one, the beast looks like a little mini terror from beyond. The secret with this, well, see, I wanted to call her too. Maybe it's just a thing I have. Let's call him. He actually, one of the first things he casts is called Extract. You basically have to interrupt that one every time. It happens infrequently enough that whatever your interrupt is for your class, you should be up again in plenty of time. You have to do two things. You have to interrupt that, and then you have to kill the ad that he spawns, because in both cases, the extract is going to heal him and the ad is going to heal him. So it's basically interrupt the extract and kill the ad so he doesn't get healed, or else he'll just keep healing himself to full because, you know, he's like that. The bad thing about that too, when he does the extract, is what's healing him is basically your life or your companion's life. So yeah, really, if you interrupt extract, you'll probably win this fight, and killing the ad is important too, but you got to do one, if not both of those things for sure.
If you have high enough DPS and you plow through you interrupt the extract and you just DPS them down fast, you might not even notice the ad. If you're a little bit slower though, and he does suck up the ad will heal him a lot. So
yeah.
If you're a little bit slower, make sure you're killing the ads, because the ads will heal like 50% or something. It was extreme. So that's a big deal.
So on the first guy, it's basically surviving and stunning. And on this guy, it's basically interrupting and DPSing. And then the last guy, Commander Zerowon, he's at the top of the tower that's in the middle of the zone. He's another one where you have to interrupt. He casts something that's called Reaping something or other. That's the priority to interrupt. Save your interrupt for that one. And then if you have extra interrupts, stuns, knockbacks or whatever, you can interrupt anything else he casts. But yeah, again, interrupt and DPS, interrupt and DPS. He also does a force choke. That's not as bad as the Ravage type channel attacks that he does. So I wouldn't worry about that one too much.
I just find force choke to be the, one of the most
annoying,
humiliating effects that
yeah,
a mob that a mob can cast on you. You're like dangling in the air. I mean, I'm this ass kicking level 55 one man army, and then I'm like dangling in the air. So whatever.
It was pretty fun when I went in there on my operative, and she's one of my newbie 55s that I was mentioning that has the sort of non-gear. She was my, I took her to ops when we were doing level 50 ops. So her gear is level 50 gear, but it's all like 61, 63 type mods. And, so this fight, Zerowon was a challenge for her because yeah, a lot of damage. And her, her companion Corso, She has a treak also. I have a number of treaks, but yeah, there's just a lot of damage that's going around on that. I did take my smuggler there too, which is why I was thinking Corso, but it seemed to me, I don't know if it was my imagination or what, but it seemed that Corso was way squishier than treak. And I actually went down, I actually looked at them side by side and put their stats in a spreadsheet and tried to compare. And gear wise, I did have a lot more, not a lot, but a little bit more mitigation on Treak. But it was just funny that Corso took so much more damage in this fight than Treak did. Take from that what you will.
Treak-ziki, yeah!
So, yeah. So, Treak, yeah, we've got a lot of Treaks running around. I didn't have that much problem with him, but I haven't done him on my new 55s. So, I was only doing it on my really geared 55s.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice it, but yeah, I think there's two of the Ravage ones, but the reap the whirlwind or whatever it is, interrupt it. That's going to save you a little bit.
I will say one thing. I really like this whole, I like the moon and I like the structure of it where you quest and it leads up to this mini boss and you do some more questing and it leads up to another mini boss. I like the structure of it. I like how when you're running around the moon, it's very mob dense. So you're always having to watch where you go. You're having to either, you know, go around mobs to not aggro them or just go right through them, but keep going so that they don't pull you off your thing. I like that kind of a environment. I did not like the beginning of this fight with Commander Zero, and where you go in and you have to click on the console and these droids come out one at a time that you have to just painstakingly wait and kill them. Oh my gosh.
It's not hard at all. If they all came out at once, it would take like 2 seconds to AoE them down. But right. One comes out on one side, and then you kill the other one on the other side, and then one more comes out on the other. It's and it doesn't even take that long, but you're right. It's just
And then you have to go and do it on the other side.
Yeah. Although I appreciate it, and maybe that's why they do it. It's like, doesn't this seem so annoying? And then when it doesn't happen on the third side, then you're like, oh, awesome.
Yeah. Right. Like, it feels so good when I stop punching myself in the face.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that's a little joke. Oh, and also we keep saying this every time we go in there. You kill the boss, you kill Zaron. Don't forget to loot the quest object that's sitting on the altar then before you run out. I done it a couple times. Everybody's done it. You kill the boss, you run out of the instance, you teleport back to the starting zone, and you go, oh,
yeah,
I guess I got to go back and finish that quest.
And it's the same with the Elder Subtroth too, that after you kill him, there's something you have to click on. And you know, your first time through, you're not going to forget that because you see it blue shining in the back and your quest thing says it and all this stuff. But after you've done it a few times, I just turn around and run out of that cave. And then I'm like, oh yeah, run back. Yeah.
Yep. I've done it too. So after you do those three areas, the south, the north, and the tower, then you have the heroic two to do. The heroic area is sort of the area that's in front of the Dread Fortress, and where you're getting to, where you're going to go to the two operations. This area is filled with larger groups, with elites. It also has a series of seven or eight champions that are pathing around. The first time you're through there, and I think you have to do less for when you do it as a daily, you need to blow up some of the shuttles. So you got to clear some of the groups so you can get in there, and you just click on the thing on the shuttle and blow it up. So that's nothing. Then you also have to kill 2, 3, 4 of the champions. The champions are pathing around in random places. You want to make sure you clear out a little bit because some of the champions have a little bit of a knockback. If you aggro a group, in fact, I've found more problems when I'm in there with a team of four than when I'm in with a team of two or trying to solo. Because there's just, as you said, it's a dense area. The whole moon is dense with mobs. You can't swing a dead cat over your head without hitting another mob and aggroing another group. So you're getting knocked all over the place.
When you have a group of four, there's usually at least two different people who think they're picking the path that everyone's going to.
True, true. But you have to kill some of these champions. They're not all that tough, but they're champions, so they're a mini boss fight of their own. And then you complete the heroic too. These champions, though, what I liked, and this is more of what I like about the whole Oricon setup, is there's an achievement for killing all of the champions. If you manage to get them all, and that each kill each champion, and you get a lore entry achievement, and then once you kill them all, you get another achievement, and I think a title. And there's a ton of that kind of stuff all over the moon and across these instances too. So you'll want to kill them all eventually at some point. And there are guides out there that tell you approximately where each of them are pathing. That's interesting.
Right.
So that's a good one.
Yeah. This may be class specific. I don't know, but they are doable on your own. I have gone in a couple times with my sage or my stork and just done that on my own, but it does just takes a lot longer. It's a lot more fun to go with your pals and your buddies.
Once you're doing them as dailies, if you take the speeder directly to the steps of the fortress, there's usually people standing around there waiting for their ops teams to get ready. You could pick somebody up. I've had a couple of people just standing around there asking, hey, you want to knock out this heroic too really quick because it's right down the steps. And I think that works well to pick somebody up.
That is an awesome idea. Or one thing too, when you're blowing up the shuttles, you have to kind of run up the side of them and click on the thing on the top of them. If you happen to wait for one of them to respawn, it doesn't buy you anything to run up and to the top of the shuttle on top of the shuttle and wait, because the whole shuttle is going to respawn and you fall through anyway. So you just got to wait to the side. Little tip there.
There's also a pit underneath each of the shuttles, yeah, of course, there is. Because you can't have enough bottomless pits in Star Wars architecture for some reason. We, of course, jumped in the pit. It doesn't do much. You just die. But there's a deep pit. I need to jump in it. And I did get to one time that we, for whatever makeup of the ads were, there was one mob standing right on the edge of that pit. So I did a 300, this is Sparta, and kicked him in.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't die. He ran around on the bottom and we stayed in combat for like 10 minutes, but that's right.
Right. He didn't die and we couldn't kill him. So lesson not really learned, because I'm sure we'll do it again.
Yes, sure we will. In addition to after you get through, there are a bunch of bonuses that get added on then too, aren't there?
Yeah. In fact, when you, once you finish the story, the heroic actually is optional. It's not so much a part of the storyline, but it is, you do have to do the heroic to get credit towards the weekly. But once you get through the story, then you get to do a version of all those same quests again as dailies. And when you have the daily version of the quest, then there are some bonus quests that are available to go along with them too. So they're not super obvious. So if you don't cotton onto them, you can look up in guides, stuff like that. But I believe there's four bonus quests you can do.
Yeah, I didn't even realize there was four. Some of them are obvious, because it'll say, well, like the seeker droid one. You got up in the north and it says, your seeker droid notices something in this area. If you don't know what you're supposed to be scanning, which is the twisted roots coming out of the ground, you may stand around in the middle of the lake and scan for a half hour. Once you figure out what you're supposed to be scanning, it takes like 2 minutes to finish that bonus. But a couple of the others, in fact, until I was... writing some notes about it tonight, I didn't even realize there were a couple of these.
Oh yeah. I knew about the secret droid one, and I knew about the one in the tower where you click and click on the, because it's real obvious they shine blue and you know you're supposed to click on them and you get like a data something or other. And when you get five, you can go up and kill the mini boss. But right. Those are the only two that I knew about. What you found, sounds like you found the two others though.
Yeah, so one I had heard about but hadn't done, which is those dread engines that are corrupting the ground. Once you destroy those, there's a crystal that spawns right in the bottom of the thing that you shot to blow it up. You click that crystal and it leads you to a place where you spawn an elite and kill it, and that's the bonus for that one. And then in the heroic area, there's another one. You use your Mac and binoculars, you'll see the coded transmitter console, and you'll have to use your Mac and binoculars to scan, I think, four antennas, which will then lead you to another mini boss that you need to kill.
Dang.
We're gonna have to go and do those. I haven't done that
yet. Yeah, I totally want to do those.
So once you do all those, once you do all your dailies, and each of the daily versions of the quests are slightly shorter than the story versions. Maybe that's because you also have the bonus then to do too, if you want. But after you do all those, then you also have you've been led up to the steps of the Dread Fortress. Make sure you unlock the quick travel point and the speeder that's at the Dread Fortress, if it's not already active for you, because you want to be able to get back there quickly when your guild is off doing the instance, because there's not entrances for these on the fleet yet. So you get there, and that leads you to the two instances, which are the Dread Fortress and the Dread Palace. The Dread Fortress is the first in terms of story before the Dread Palace. The Dread Palace is second. The Dread Palace you get to by going through the swirly purple gates on the sides of the Dread Fortress entrance. That look pretty cool. I like those swirly purple gates, and they use them inside the instances as well. But we did the Dread Fortress this week. And we can talk about that for a couple minutes. We only need to talk about it for a couple minutes because we didn't get all that far as we wanted.
Right.
But we think that's because there are some issues with 8-man story mode. So the first boss is a cakewalk. In fact, I think the trash leading up to the boss was slightly harder than the boss itself. Because they have a knockback and they'll knock you off the bridge.
Right. Not knockback plus lava equals dead. That's what we found.
Even after we found, I don't know what we did that first pull. So it was the very first pull, and somebody says, oh, they have a knockback. And still, for some reason, by the end of us having to wipe, at least seven people were knocked off the bridge.
It's like, it's just how
they
roll,
really?
Man.
No, I'm still going to stand here with my back to the edge of the bridge and see what happens. I think you're trolling me. I don't know. But yeah, so everyone was knocked off for some reason. And then we never got knocked off again. But everybody, I guess, wanted to take a lava bath. So then the boss is relatively easy. You can look up the strats on that. You just don't get blown up by the big red circle, and two tanks need to share the cleave in front of the boss, and then you just shoot him and he dies. Then there's the puzzle, which is a series of corridors which leads up to the next boss. The puzzle, when you look it up in the guide, will seem hella complicated and you'll be all worried about it. It's not that complicated. Once you go in there.
Yeah. Once you do it, it's sort of like, oh yeah, that's okay. I get it now.
There's like one step of coordination in the beginning when both of the side gates need to be opened. But after that, you're basically running through, breaking a bunch of crystals, and you get into the next boss.
Like, the next maybe boss it has is to Draxus. Maybe it has to be more coordinated on hard mode or something. But for story mode, yeah, you just kind of go through.
True. We only did this in story mode, but even it didn't seem as complicated as it seemed on the diagram. So then you get to Draxus. And Draxus is an interesting boss where the ads are the boss. So there's nine waves of ads. The boss himself, you DPS him in four or five mini phases, then he blasts off. He goes down relatively quickly. If it was a tank and spank, thing would be over in 45 seconds, right, practically. But the nine waves of ads are what require the coordination and where the timing comes in, and getting those waves down in each wave after the next wave after the next wave is where you'll hit the enrage timer if you don't do them fast enough. That's what's causing some issues for some groups right now. So there's mechanics with each of the waves that are slightly different. Mobs you need to take out before you take out another mob. And we were running into problems by about the seventh wave, and we were running into a problem which would seem that the enrage timer is too short for story mode right now. So we were getting hit by the really bad dot that was ticking for what seemed to be more than it ticks for in hard mode, in 8-man story mode. That's when we were interrupting the slam from the guardians in wave 7. And we were also then, even when we were very well coordinated and knocking everything down and getting all the way through, we're hitting the enrage timer by wave 8, wave 9. And he comes back down enraged and one-shots everybody with a rain of missiles.
Right.
So it was a little bit frustrating. We did it for a while. I think we've got the fight down. It seems a little overtuned. Either we need to be treating it like hard mode and doing hard mode DPS. I mean, we can get through hard mode bosses on some of the other instances. So we've, in theory, have the DPS, but we were hitting that enrage timer, so we need to either work on it or it's a little overtuned right now, which is what I choose to believe.
Yeah, and just from reading people's thoughts in the forums, it seems like maybe you're right that it's a little overtuned. At least that one dot that was ticking for what it was. And also, you could receive it it's supposed to hit two players. But we saw it at least once where both dots hit on the same player. So it was ticking for around 6K each. So that's challenging to heal through 12K ticks.
Right. Especially in 8-man where you only have two healers and they're scrambling and potentially needing to keep the boss, needing to keep the tanks up, or it's
right. Especially when we went to read about it and they were saying it was ticking for more like 2.5K on hard mode. So I think there's something cattywampus there.
That's what it seems like. But all in all, I'm having a lot of fun in Oricon. There's lore objects all over the place. There's achievements all over the place. Some of the achievements are sort of hidden. Some of the lore objects are in weird places that you can't get to unless you're hopping around in weird ways. So I really like it.
Yeah, I found a chest one of the times I fell off something. And I actually fell onto this ledge and there was a corrupted geo beast there. And I had to kill him. And of course, Treak was still up on the ledge, so she was no help. And then I came around this corner because I was trying to find, you know, my way out, and there was a chest and two more of these corrupted geo beasts, and they hit hella hard. They were strongs, but they were still hitting pretty hard. As it turns out, though, I essentially had to jump off to my death to get off. But I don't know, I love that kind of stuff where I was falling because I fell down between two stairways. I was trying to jump over and I fell down between two stairways and I ended in this place and there was a chest and some mobs. And then you're stuck. You have to jump off. I don't know. I just thought that was really cool.
Lots of neat hidden stuff like that. So all in all, I think it's a great place. Have fun with it. With that, our Astromech EPC-07 is filled up and ready to get shot out this railgun. So thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask for an invite. And I'll put some of my character names in the show notes so you could come and find me and get an invite on Jedi Covenant if you want. For AIE Guild information, you can visit AIE-guild.org or find us on Facebook at AIE SWOTOR. I will talk to you soon.
Bye.